This one we are recording. So now, Perek Vav Mishnah Beis is a continuation of this theme, and we're going to move on from it a little bit. In the first Mishnah we had, the whole situation was nothing happened yet. No work has been done. It just, you know, the employer or employee calls it off before the job gets done, and the issue was just replacement of the task by somebody else. Now what happens if, here in Mishnah Beis, halfway through the project, someone walks away? Now, here, there is a difference between a kablon and a schir yom. For now, I'm talking about, if I please God remember, at the end of the Mishnah, I'll come back to the schir yom, the employee who's paid by the hour. But it's a little different. But I'm talking for now that here about, we're talking about a contractor agrees to a full job. Well, let's keep it simple. Why am I saying that? Because the contractor agreed to the whole job. An employee by an hour is allowed to walk away. He's allowed to walk away. He's paid me by the hour. I had enough working for you. I'm moving on. That's that. So that's a different topic. Okay, and we'll discuss later on if damage is caused by that later on. But so step one, we're talking about it. Just keep it simple here. The kablan, I hire you to do a job for me. And then halfway through the job, you say, you know what? I did half the job, but like, I'm not doing any more for you for whatever reason. But, you know, let's keep it simple. I mean, I want to keep it like mathematically simple and, you know, conceptually simple. I hired you to plant 10 trees for me, and after I'm paying you $100 for 10 trees. 6 trees into things, you say enough is enough. This is too hard. I don't want to do it anymore. Okay, so you've done 60% of the work. There's 6 trees in the ground. It's ostensibly $60 worth of pay coming to you. That's the case here. And now the problem is, yeah, but I have 4 trees still to plant. I have to go find someone else to do it now, and I'm inconvenienced now. So that's the setup of the case. Okay? So we'll talk about it both ways. Either it can be that you, the employee, said after 6 trees, enough is enough. Too hot today. I don't want to do this anymore. I can't be bothered. Or whatever. Or there's other possibilities. But I, the employer, say, you know what? Forget it. It's too much. I'm not interested in hiring you anymore. I'm having second thoughts. Whatever Mishagas employers have, that, you know, now that I see the trees in the ground, I realize I wanted fig trees and not maple trees. Who knows what, you know? People do stupid things in their lives. So I call it off halfway through the job. That's the case here. So
you're not happy with the work and you fire them.
Then we'll start to depend on if the work was taught as substandard or not. That'll have to be proven.
If you think it was.
That's getting a separate issue. The dentoral will be over that. Let's get that issue out of it for now. Okay, the issue. This step one is, no one's complaining about the quality of the work. Just someone's backing out. In other words, for whatever reason, the employer is saying I've changed my mind. It could be I just don't like you. I don't like you. I don't want your grubby hands on my trees. Get lost. You did a fine job, but you're a pain in the neck to deal with, right? Which is not an uncommon scenario, right? Or alternatively, the employee says, I don't like you. You're a grump to work for, and, you know, I did 6 trees for you, pay me $60, but then, you know, find someone else the rest. I'm not dealing with you and your grumpy kids and your nasty dog and whatnot. So that's all the way above. So here, so the Mishnah says inside. Part one, when the employees back out. I hire the tree planters to do the tree planting job, and they did half it. They planted 6 of the 10 trees, so the bill is up. 60% of the $100 job is done. And then they say, you know what, forget it. Your backyard stinks. I'm not interested in you anymore. Get lost. So now the balabais has been put out. We'll see how he's put out in a second. But they're now invoicing him for 6 out of 10. Okay? So then, Yadan al tachtona. Their hand, the people who backed out in the middle, the employees, have the... Is that the word? Have the underhand? There must be a better word in English for that. Their hand is on... The lower hand. That's what it means. That they're the... Yeah, we're going to see what happens next. They're at a disadvantage. Here's what's going to happen next. I'm going to have to hire someone else.
Underdog,
something like that. In English, you say you can have the upper hand.
Yeah.
But can you have the...
Lower hand?
Lower, is that such a thing? Okay, anyways, that's what it means. It means the opposite of having the upper hand in the deal. They have the lower hand. Right, that's literally what it means. Their hand is on the underside. Meaning what? I have to now hire somebody. Now, you know, there's a bulk discount. I'm making up a scenario. It could be anything. For argument's sake, you know, good, to plant 10 trees, the going rate is, you know, $100. But like, And you could say that's $6 to $10 a tree, but it's not really true. Like if you hire a person to hire, you know, plant four trees, they're not going to say, oh, $40, because it's still to come out, and they have to go back, and they have to get the same supplies, get their hands just as dirty, and everything else. So, you know, the going rate, for argument's sake, might be $50 to plant four trees. You walked out with four trees to go. I can't find one to do that bulk rate. So it's a different price now. So the Yadol Tachtona means that I now have to hire someone for 50, Bonagid, let's say. So then since I had to lay out 50, my whole job is supposed to cost 100. You did 6/10 of it. So you want to get paid 60. But I say, listen, when I got the job to finish getting finished done cost me another 50. And you told me the whole thing would cost me 100. So your hand is on the underside, you the employee, meaning I'm only paying you 50. It was a bad example. 50 is a bad number. But anyways, that's what it is now. My whole job is going to cost me 100, as you promised. Since 50 went out to plant the last four trees, you're only getting 50 for the first six trees. You have the underhand. I'm telling you to walk away. So the point is, underhand means you'll get paid at most how much your 6/10, but in no events will I be out of my pocket, you have the underhand, more than what we originally agreed upon. Okay? So if it costs me $90 to plant those last four trees, you're going to get 10 for your work. Okay, that's, no one told you to back away. Okay? So that's if the employee backs out. What if the employer backs out? Imbal habayis chozer bo, six trees into it, he says, you know, scram. So then yadola tachtona, he's got the underhand in the deal, whatever that is, meaning that under normal circumstances, I have to pay you 6/10. Now, let's say, for example, meanwhile, since when I agreed to pay you, I found out I can find cheaper workers, or, you know, I don't know what, there's a glut of employees now, or who knows what, and I could get the last four trees planted not for 40, but for 10, because people are desperate for work for whatever reason. So the whole job would cost me 70. So I'm now incentivized just to fire you after 6 and hire a new person for the last four and get the last bit done cheap. So as the employer, my hand is now on the bottom, meaning that I'm the person's backing out, and therefore the whole job is still going to cost me no less than 100. So if I pay someone else 10, I have to pay you 90 for your first 6. Yeah, so that's so you'll get no less. You're going to get at least 60 as promised for 6% of the work. But if I find a way to get it cheaper, that isn't out of your pocket. Adarava, since I backed out, it's going to cost me the same, and you can demand, this is a $100 job, you pay $10 to someone else, so the remaining 90 comes to me. Okay?
Now, that's for any reason where the owner backs out, or if he has a good reason, like the guy hasn't come in 2 weeks to finish.
We're talking about
one day job while he's working.
Yeah, we're talking about not a good, he has no, in both these cases, no, you have to keep it simple now, the mission we're dealing with, neither party has a claim on the other than just this, that you stopped working. Or I don't want to work for you anymore. It's not that he's doing a bad job or unreliable. Then he might... That's different. Here we're just simply saying, for whatever reason, I just canceled on you. Okay, so that's the Mishnah setup. Now the Mishnah is going to say, since we're talking about Yadol Tachtona, the underhand, you know, the deal, we're going to discuss two other types of transactions where someone has an underhand. One of them we've seen already. Does it ring a bell at all? Back in the end of Bava Kamma we saw that I'll remind you, because the Mishnah just says, all the Mishnah says is Kol Mishana, whoever changes, whoever deviates, Yadol Tachtono, he has the underhand. But I'll remind you the case. The underhand, the bottom hand, lower hand, whatever the word is. I know it's not an idiom in English, but he has the opposite of the upper hand. So here's the case, I'll remind you. What? I don't know, whatever. Disadvantage. Fine. Here's the case, I'll remind you, it was back in Bava Kamma, the ninth parak, we saw. This is the case of the Mishnah. I went to the wool dyer with my wool, and I told him I want nice black wool, and he went and dyed it red. Remember that one? So then we said, it was like this. I don't remember our numbers then, but you know, the case is, you know, let's say raw wool is worth, you know, $8. I don't know why I picked that number. Raw wool is worth $8, and if it would be dyed, now how I wanted black, I'd be able to sell it for $20. You deliver me red, and red dyed wool is only worth 15. So then we said, so okay, there was a machlokas there. The halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, which the Mishnah is going like, which I'll say first, which is this, that the person, the Mishana, the wool dyer who didn't follow instructions, he's got the lower hand. So that means I pay him the lesser of either,
Fine wool and
One second. So the lesser of either. Darn it. I'll just speak them out, then it will come to me afterwards. I'm sorry, I'm just not thinking clear enough. I apologize. But I'll speak it out, then it will be clear. In this case, the case I gave you, where it's 15, so I didn't. What did I gained? I gained. One second. Don't tell you wrong.
Why did you
run the board? No. The issue. I made a. I realized what I. Okay. Sorry. Nothing's changing. I just realized that the question is that I focused on the wrong things with the Mishnah. Everything's the same. Don't worry. I didn't lead you clearly. Same story. I gave you the wool. The wool, raw wool costs 8, and Bonagid that I was expecting a $20 black wool. I got $15 red wool, but that's not the point. That's all true. The point is, what did I pay you? I told you I would pay you for this work. I told you I'd pay you $5. Okay, you the wool dyer, $5. That's what you expect to get, and. So I was thinking, just speaking it out, I'm in $8 for the wool, $5 for the labor, I'm in for 13, and I'm getting $20 wool, I'm out for 20. So I'm making a profit, that's my business, right? Fine. So now I come to you, and your cheshbon is you're charging me $5 for the work, but in your head, that's because really $3 are for the work, and $2 are for the dye. $2 are your out-of-pocket expenses. There's not a lot of numbers swirling around right now. But anyways, that's the point is, you were expecting to get 5, but of that 5, you were expecting to get 3 was for your labor, and 2 was for your own costs of buying the dye. Right? So I promised 5. So now like this. If I pay you the lesser of... Second. So I'm only halfway there. But anyway, those are the 7 points. So now the deal I told you now is that since I promised I'd pay you... I can't lose. The dyer... The employer can't lose. He has the upper hand, meaning that the wool dyer can get 5. In the case I told you now, since there's $5 plus a profit, I can pay you all 5. And good, you're right. I made less profit. But that's not your problem. It's a lesser of. Man, can you believe it? I can't get it clear in my head now. But if that's all true, I haven't said anything wrong yet. If on the other hand, red wool only goes for $10, and I'm already in for 8. Right? So, because I cost you 8. So all I'm going to pay you is the 2. So even though I promised you 5, I'm only paying you $2 because I'm not going to lose. So I'm breaking even now. I'm in for 8 for the, I'm in for 8 for the cost of the wool plus, and I sold it for 10, so all I have to pay you is 2 and I promised you 5. In other words, if red wool is worth less than plain wool for argument's sake, then I pay you nothing. So I'm always going to break, at least break even as the employee.
Why should that happen? He just lost out on money. The guy, the dyer, of course, the owner of the material, to lose money.
Well, he's only losing a potential profit. So that right, he's only losing a potential profit. So if the wool's worth less, it's worth $7. Then he would actually, that's Mezek. I gave you my wool and you ruined it. $8 wool, you made it $7 wool. And I would actually sue you and you'd give me a dollar. If, on the other hand, you improved it poorly, and now I was hoping to sell it for 20, but I can't. I only sell it now for 12. So I promised you 5, but it cost me 8. So I'm not going to pay 8 plus 5 is 13 and get back 12. It's crazy. So all I will pay you, all I have to pay you is now is 4. And there's no more profit. It's a wash. I'm flat. And you're,
he makes a mistake and he doesn't have to pay for his mistake.
Well, the employer, the person who hired the wool dyer, can't lose. He can't lose. But and whatever loss there would be is swallowed by the wool dyer. He may get nothing, may get partial payment. Depends on how bad his mess up was. If he just caused a loss of a potential profit, then he won't. Then the wool dyer won't have to pay. But he can't cause the employer to lose money. Listen, we're talking an honest mistake here, by the way. Remember that. But anyways, talking mistake. So that was Rabbi Yehuda's shita. Rav Meir is even less. Rav Meir's shita was, if you remember, not in the Mishnah. Rav Meir's shita was that clear? Did I say that clear? Did I make it clear? So in other words, let me try now. Say the principle. The employer will never pay more than his total costs, or he can't lose. He has to at least break even. Even if it means that the employee is going to lose money on his labor or even on his supplies, doesn't matter. Okay, so he's got the other underhand. The person who changed the rules, the employee who's supposed to be dyeing the wool, since he was mishaneh, he changed what he's supposed to do, so he can't. If any loss incurred in this transaction, it's all out of his pocket. If there's no loss, there's less profit, then he gets paid in full. Okay, that's Rav Yehuda Shita, and that's how the Mishnah is going. Rav Meir, just if I'll remind you from that Mishnah, if I mentioned here, said kol mishana. If you change instructions, then you're a gazlan. So I don't say you're a thief. I gave you my wool, and you went and dyed it red. You're a thief. And then the din was that, remember that the gazlan acquires what he stole once he does a shinui to it. So what happened is the wool would be the dyer's, and the dyer just has to pay back to the person who hired him for the wool. So in other words, there you got the according to Rameer, the wool dyer makes all the profit. You're worried about him making some profit. But here, in other words, the wool dyer could just paint it red, and then he would just give the guy back the $8 for his raw wool. But they don't say, sorry, he's a gazlan, he's a thief. But that's all that would happen. In any case, the Mishnah, found the thought of the Mishnah through, the Mishnah said that, you know, the people who back out in the middle of the deal, their hand is on the bottom. So by the employer or the employee, in the first part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah says, oh, the same is true by the situation where I go into work for you and you contract to do a job and you don't meet the specifications. Then if there's any loss incurred to me because of the change in specifications, not loss of potential profit, but actually loss in total, then your hand is on the underside, meaning I only pay you as much that I don't incur any loss. You may incur some or all loss. That's not my problem. But I have to pay you whatever I didn't lose. And that's an important point. I'm going to speak the last point again. Cost me, if the wool I gave you was worth eight, and you dyed it wrong, and I could sell it for 10, I still have to give you two. I have to give you two. Assuming I owe you more than two. At least two I have to give you. Okay, because that's that. So that's the Yad al-Tachtona. And then the Mishnah says one other case where the Yad, the person's hand is on the underside, which is, if we go into contract together to sell something, and then you back out, kol achozer bo. So I'm going to sell you my house, my field. I'm selling you my field for $1,000. Okay, and you give me $200, and then before you give the rest, I back out of it, or you back out of it. Doesn't matter. So now, it's the prerogative of the person who didn't back out. He has the upper hand. He can say either, no, the $200 you gave me, I'm keeping, and you can just have 20% of the field. Or we can say, here's your money back. He has a choice, and vice versa. If the seller backs out, the person who gave the $200 deposit on the field can say, either I want my money back, or he can say, well, I want 20% of the field. Whatever you sold me thus far.
Is there a concept of non-refundable?
Well, I guess you can contract non-refundable. But the point is that the person's backing out. So if you back, once the backer outer is the bad guy, so the other person, the counterparty, has his prerogative. He can just say, give me my money back then, or he can say, I want, you know, my fair share of what I bought already. So they can, since you backed out, you have the underhand. The other person can decide which is better for him. So those two points are unrelated to the first part of the Mishnah. It's just that they're also yadu al tachtona. They're people who have the underhand in the deal, and the other person has a choice what he wants. So let me just at least sum up all these, the employment stuff. So the two Mishnahs together. Number one, if we agreed to go into contract, you're going to plant the trees in my house, and then you back out before you begin. You back out 8 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning. Then, if I can find someone else for the same price, just a matter of being on the phone for an hour, that I have nothing against you in heaven or down on earth, all I can do is just say, I have a gripe. That's it. I just have a gripe for you causing me a headache. If there's a loss that's going to be incurred here, like, you know, the flax rotting in the thing, or whatever it is, and it's an urgent thing, then I'm allowed to hire someone else and bill you for the extra cost that it cost me. In other words, you told me to do it for $100, it costs $150, so I can charge you for the $50. Or alternatively, I can trick you, and I can say, I'll give you $150 like you want, and then when you do it, just give you $100 and say, you promised $100, and that's it. You can't leave me lurks like that. Fine. That's the same dinum apply if you're talking about a schir yom or a kablan so far. Now, if the workers back out because of an ones, circumstance beyond their control, snow, broken leg, then too bad, the employer has no claim against them, it's just, that's how the cookie crumbles. Fine. If the balabais, the employer, backs out, if the employees can find other malacha, any other job at the same price, they didn't lose any dollars, they just lost that headache, again, all they have, it's exactly the same. All they have is a complaint against the guy, but nothing more, even in heaven, he owes them nothing. If they, now here's the now important point, I don't know if it's clear, if they could have found malacha at the time, like, you know, last week when I was filling my schedule, you told me you're going to hire me to do the work in your field. At 8 o'clock in the morning, you, the employer, calls the employee and says, forget, I don't want the work done. Now the employee can't fill up his Monday. Mondays, he can't find a job. If that's the case, then the if he could have found a job last week when bidding was open, but now that it's comes to 8 o'clock on a Monday morning, it's too late for me to find new work to do today. So then the employer, would-be employer, has to pay the would-be employee what's called, you know, schar batel, it's like a poel batel. In other words, if you remember this, we had this idea a few times, how much the person would have been willing to accept to do no work instead of hard work. So let me speak it out for a second. He was going to, the guy works for $80 a day. So the question would be, how much would he be, and that, for that he has to plant trees in the sunshine for, you know, for 8 hours. How much would he be prepared to be paid to not plant trees in the sunshine, to sit in his house and not do any work? How much would he be prepared to be paid to do that instead? And let's say, pretend it's $35. So then the employer who canceled on the employee at, you know, 8 o'clock on Monday morning, and now he's lost a day's work, so he has to be compensated, but only has to be compensated the $35 he would have been prepared to accept to not do any work, not more than that. Sorry? Like welfare.
They make this bone when the man's work is his play, and he's now not working, he's at a loss.
I assume
he can't sit around and he can't enjoy himself. He would have been enjoying himself working.
Well, it'll be based on normal people. You have to know it. It has to be based on normal people, but then and it'll be based on have to ascertain. Like, I thought you were going to ask me, how are you going to figure that out anyway? It's like, it's a funny question to ask. You know, how much are you prepared to pay to not work? What? But, yeah.
It's
a sad statement that normal people don't do with, like what they do. That's what he's saying. Anyways, but that's here the principle. Just here the principle. The principle is that that since I messed you up and now you can't get work that you were going to expect on a Monday, I have to compensate you. But the compensation isn't the full amount of the job. The compensation is how much you'd be prepared to get paid under normal circumstances to not work. Okay. Now, if the employees, the workers, back out midway through a job, then they have the bottom hand in the transaction, meaning I now have to hire someone else, the whole job's going to cost what it was supposed to cost me originally, and you get the remainder. Right? That assumes, now I'm going back to what I said, I mentioned in the mission, now I'm mentioning it. That assumes you were a kablan. You were hired to do the job, and you didn't do it. You did 60% of the job. If you were hired by the hour, then it's your prerogative to say, I've had enough working for you, and I owe you in full. So that's a big difference. You hear that? I want to emphasize that point there. You said you're going to plant 10 trees. You only planted 6, and you back away. So I say, listen, this job, you promised $100, this is going to cost me $100, whatever I've left over after hiring other people, that goes to you. That's because you were a kablan. You said 10 trees for $100. If, on the other hand, you said, I'm a tree planter, I charge $10 an hour, I'll do it as fast as I can, and that's that. And after 6 hours, I planted 6 trees, I say, that's $60, and now I can't fight you, because that was the agreed upon thing. 6 hours work, you have the right to back away. An employee by the hour has the right to back out. Okay. Now, and lastly, now if the employer backs out midstream, in other words, you planted 6 out of 10 trees, then I say your breath stinks and I've had enough, you get lost. So then, and now you can't find some other work, so the din actually is that I have to pay you, then the din is I have to pay you So now you have to try to find other work. If you can't find other work, if you could find other work, then I don't pay you. We're back to the first case of the Mishnah. Then it's just You just had a gripe against me. If, however, you can't find other work, so then I have to pay you like the whole bottle for the rest of the job. I have to pay you for what, you know, how much you're prepared to not work, but still get paid. And that point, the last point is, I have to pay you as a whole bottle for you not working because I backed out. Even if at the time I contracted for you to do the work, you couldn't have found work elsewhere. Once I've messed you up like that in the middle and you didn't do anything wrong, but I've changed my mind on you, I owe you compensation for not working, you know, gardening leave, they call it in England. For the work you didn't do, I have to pay you like, you know, welfare, whatever the equivalent is. Even if you couldn't have found work before, because I messed you up now. You're counting on it and now I've messed you up, so I have to pay at least that. Yeah? Good. Very good. Okay, so we stop there for today. Perfect timing. That's incredible.